All right, what's up, Theory and Theology? Now, I don't usually talk much about finance on here, I don't think, but it is something that I have an interest in, and I don't really know where else to post information about it. But someone sent me this article. It was pretty cool / frightening. And I'll post it. It's by Insider Business and Insider. Business Insider. It says, it's about retirement and it's about the current retiring generation. It says, just over half of Americans over the age of 65 are earning under $30,000 a year. And it shows how stark the retirement crisis is. And all the description underneath. Insider Business, a new report from Senator Bernie Sanders signals a looming retirement crisis for Americans. Many older folks are financially vulnerable, with over half living incomes of $30,000 or less a year. Solutions might include enhancing Social Security checks and setting up automatic retirement accounts. Head to the link in our bio to read more about the retirement crisis that's looming for many Americans. And how much income Americans 65 and older have. So between one and just under $10,000, 10.3%. Well, I guess, okay, let's get the bigger percentages out of the way. The largest percentage is 22.8 Americans 65 and older have between $10,000 and a little under $20,000. The next number is 17.3% have between $20,000 and $30,000. That's income. Income, guys. So if you're looking at groups that have under $30,000, or let's say under $40,000, that's, you can do the math, 11.9%, 17.3%, plus 22.8%, plus 10.3%. That's all the numbers. In about $10,000 increments. So that's, let me see if I can do math in my head. I'm gonna do an approximation. I don't want to use my calculator. So it's 19. It's too late for me to be doing this, guys. 36, a 58, 68, 9, 7, 8, so a little over 70%. Have less than $50,000 income annually, and 22.8% have between 10 to less than $20,000 annually income. Now, when we look at the higher numbers that are over 40,000. That's a lot less people. All that other, like, 30% have more than $40,000. And that's between I said, I don't know how these numbers work. So the greatest majority have between 40 and 50K, between 50 and 60K, and over 100K. 9.6% have over 100K. And then there's these other numbers. 5% at between 60 and 70. 3.5% at 70 to 80K. 2.6% at 80 to 90K. And 2% at 90 to 100K. So that's the other 30% of people, if they have 40K or over. And so that's pretty frightening. I can't even imagine living off 30K now. I mean, if your rent is supposed to be a third of your income, let's see. If you're making $30,000 a month, or rent a year, you divide that by 12, you're bringing in about $2,500 a month. And if you, I mean, I was already making more than that at my crap jobs. And if you divide that by 3, that means affordable rent is in the $830 range, if you're following that 3%. Now, even trying to find rent for yourself that costs double that, like $1,600 rent, I mean, in Southern California, you're looking at like a studio apartment or like maybe a one bedroom if it's like a low rate. So I know other states are different. You can get like an apartment for like $1,600 or so. But still, that's if you double that $800. 30K is not a lot of money. $40K is not that much. I mean, if you think about, I was reading the other day where they said, on average, you know, there are Americans who are doing, the ones who are, I don't know exactly how they worded it, but they were saying on average, there's a certain category of Americans that make about 65K, and they're kind of like, they're doing all right, you know? Like, that's kind of a number where it's like, unless you have all kinds of debts and loans and all kinds of other kind of issues and emergencies and stuff going on, 65K is like, you can have your apartment. If you divide that by 12, like before taxes, you've got $5,400 coming in a month. If you divide that by 3, you could afford like $1,800 rent. So in most places, other than maybe San Francisco and New York, you can get, you know, at least a one bedroom, probably a couple bedrooms. In a lot of places, you could, that's like a house payment in a lot of places. So in even the most, in the more expensive areas, but not the most expensive. The most expensive are like, you know, the Bay Area and like New York. New York, I think, is more expensive. And then California in general, Southern California, Seattle. And then a lot of the major cities, and then pretty much anything coastal, you're usually paying quite a bit of money. But, you know, a lot of inland places, a lot of Midwest places, like, you know, $1,800 for rent is plenty. When I was paying like $700-something for rent, sharing a place, renting a room in San Diego, I had, you know, family members in the Midwest that, you know, that's how much they paid for like a full apartment. That would have been plenty to rent like a full apartment. And I don't know now, like rates have changed. This was like 2019. But if you haven't, I mean, I don't know if you're like elderly, I don't really know. I can't give financial advice. I just want to talk about this. If you've seen Caleb Hammer on YouTube is a young financial content creator. He does financial audits. He gets a lot of people, different ages, couples. A lot of them are like younger. I think the reason why they're younger is because that's kind of the population that listens to his content. He's a millennial. We're like similar age range. He's based out of Texas. I don't know where exactly, but he's based out of Texas. I binge watch his content. Now, I'm not trying to be controversial, political. I'm not even trying to go that route. I just want to talk about something that I noticed. And I don't know. I'm not saying like people who are 65 and older, they've all had this issue. I don't really know. I don't have any data to say that. I don't even see many of them on his show. And so I can't really say that. I do listen to Dave Ramsey, and a lot of people that are older ages do call in and they say some information about like, oh, I don't really have a lot in retirement. Like, what can I do? And he does have some kind of advice for them. And I don't remember that off the top of my head. I don't remember every single thing that I hear. That kind of information for me is kind of like, okay, I'm not there yet. So I hear it and I know where to find it. But it's like, I am hoping to God I'm not in that position. Like, I'm 40 now. I still have potential to get on track. I'm not quite on track. But if things work out in the next 4 years to where I want them to be, you know, once I land a role where I can move up, I would be, you know, as long as I don't like upgrade my financial lifestyle and start overspending in a way that isn't going to be in any way profitable, or yield any kind of like, you know, it wouldn't be an investment. So one thing that I'm noticing that I see trends, you know, many people, I'd say they make pretty decent money. Most people who come on his show, I'd say on average, I mean, there are people who work less and make less, but most people are holding full-time jobs. Most people are making about between like 40 and 50K. And most people at the end of the month have about $100 left over. And most people don't have extra like rent that like costs like way too much where they shouldn't be able to pay for it. He goes over everyone's finances and breaks everything down into a pie chart that explains their expenses. And he literally reads off, I think it's a couple months of expenses. He goes down the sheet. He has them print it out, bring it in. And he goes down the sheet. One thing that I notice, well, a couple things I notice. The majority of the spending and overspending goes to takeout and fast food. In addition to that, DoorDash, Uber Eats, Instacart, that kind of thing. Like, food. It goes to food that's not, I mean, Instacart, yeah, you're probably buying something where they're gonna, where I think DoorDash you can get groceries too, and Uber Eats you can get some groceries. You can buy, you can grocery shop through all those apps, but I think what it looks like is they occasionally grocery shop through those apps, and most of the time they're buying takeout meals. And it adds up because it's like almost every single day. And even if they're not buying takeout through delivery apps, they're going to these fast food places. That's one thing I've noticed. The food, when you watch like, say you watch like 6 or 7 of those episodes, I have not yet seen one person that is not overspending on takeout, fast food, Jack in the Box, McDonald's, Whataburger, whatever kind of burgers and fries and Taco Bells and all kinds of stuff. So that's one thing. I don't know what categories are the biggest, but that's definitely a huge category that comes up a lot. Another category that comes up a lot, and okay, so I'll put it this way. That's a category that comes up a lot and that people don't have to do necessarily. Unless you have a certain circumstance, like I've been in circumstances where it's like, you know, I'm living with people who, you know, there's multiple people living in the same house. We all have separate schedules, separate food. Like when I was living in a house where there were like, how many of us? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us. You know, what, are you going to wait for 4 people to cook breakfast? You know what I mean? Are you going to wait for 4 people to cook lunch? Are you going to wait for 4 people to cook dinner? I mean, you're not always going to be the last one, but it's like people eat at a certain time, right? So when you live in a house with a bunch of people, if everyone's cooking their own separate meals and we don't have like a specific time where we're like allotting to cook, and it's one kitchen with like one stove and one oven and one microwave and one, you know, we had like 2 fridges, but like one sink, you know? So it gets a little uncomfortable. Like you could maybe have 2 people cooking, but that's about max is 2 people cooking. Usually 1, because people don't want to be like in each other's way. And then from there, you know, you have, you know, those are circumstances. Or when you live with people and you just, like one guy was saying, he lives with family and they're kind of toxic, so he just comes home after work, goes to his room. I can understand that. So he eats takeout because he doesn't want to cook and have to talk to his family. I get that. You know, cooking isn't always an option. Some of these people live in their cars or in their vans or whatever, and they can't really cook. And so I get it. It's not like every single person has the same life setup, but most people could cook. They just don't cook. It's the convenience of the fast food. So that's one thing I'm noticing, that it's like when he goes through all their expenses, the thing that seems to pop out to me the most, that's one category that comes up. Now, not only are people doing this on debit card accounts, they're also doing this on credit. So they're going into debt paying for all this fast food. That's another thing that's like a whole other issue, is the credit card debt, the student loan debt, of course. But the credit card debt is like, that's accumulating like in real time for a lot of these people. So the credit card debt is a big deal. Another one that I see is car payments. People having really bad interest rates. People buying cars that they don't really need to spend that much on a car. You know, $20,000. $15,000, $16,000, $11,000, you know, when they're already in debt and only having like $100 left, at the end of the month. Some people are negative every time, and some people have all these payments due on multiple credit cards and they're not paying them off. Multiple credit cards, not paying them off. Not paying them down. They're using them to buy fast food, mostly. It seems like mostly fast food. I haven't done the categories, but that's the category that I've noticed for most people. Outside of the cost of their rent, it's the fast food that adds up. The credit card debt is there too, or all other kinds of debts, they're definitely there. But when you see how people get the debt, it's usually the car payments and the food and all the like routine little buying of purchases and then not paying it off. Another thing is subscriptions to different kind of apps. Another thing is Amazon deliveries and all kinds of like purchasing stuff online, eBay, whatever. Another thing is I lost what I was going to say. In-app purchases. So people are playing games. A few people, not a lot. A few people maybe overspend on cannabis products. A few people overspend on like OnlyFans or gambling or alcohol. I've also noticed, and maybe that's just lately, but I've also noticed not a lot of people go out to eat a lot, like go out to eat at restaurants. There are people that are doing that, but it seems like mostly people get the takeout. I don't know, they might be eating there, but it seems like most of the people aren't eating at, like, you know, restaurants. They're eating food, like, to take home, or it's, like, fast food, something quick. Now, I've been in all of these categories. Other than the car one, I've probably been in all of these categories of purchasing any of these types of things. I don't think I've gambled online before. I may have bought stuff that I thought was gonna, that I could maybe flip or something like that. Maybe bought too much of it, got a little overly excited and started buying a bunch of stuff and like, oh, I'm gonna like flip this and make a profit, and then didn't really test it first. I mean, I didn't spend like thousands, probably hundreds, and I think I did it once, and then I realized it was not a smart idea. But yeah, I kind of noticed that. I was like, wow, like, yeah. So I would say, yeah, those are the main core categories where people are spending. And the reason why I want to mention that is because I'm thinking, okay, if a lot of people don't have money saved for retirement and they're young, and I'm just seeing these trends just by watching this show. He does multiple episodes a week, and they're about an hour long each, and I'm seeing the same trends. There is some variety. Like, this one lady had a rental property that, you know, she, it was like an apartment or something that her cost was, she was renting it out, and her cost, she had a tenant she was renting it to, I think her cost was $1,200 a month or something. She was making about a $750 profit off of that rental apartment, and but the way she was doing it was like she was taking that money and doing something else, like where she was basically, it wasn't a profit, and she could have maybe benefited from actually living in it, because her rent with utilities ended up being like $2,000 where she was living, and she was kind of recommended to kind of live in her $1,200 place to save money, but she didn't want to. That wasn't the only issue she had going on, but that's rare. I haven't seen that many people come on that have like major assets or like rental properties or like some kind of income like that. So she was thinking it through. A lot of people have, there are a lot of people that are, you know, homeless, living in their cars, couch surfing. There are a lot of people that don't work 40 hours a week. One of the guys, I think he was training in martial arts and was only working like 15 hours a week. And I think the plan that Caleb Hammer put him on, there was a, if he kept doing the same thing and then stuck to Caleb Hammer's plan to get out of debt, it would take him 10 years. I think he was like 23 years old. And then there was another, the same guy, I guess he, you know, if he were to work about 30 to 35 hours a week, he would start, he could probably get out of debt in like 5 years. But yeah. And then if you see the other lady, I think the other lady, the one that I was talking about that had the rental property that she was like renting out, she needed an extra $1,000, a little over $1,000 a month. Like, she was in the hole, like, over $1,000 a month. She was kind of able to move money around and stuff, but technically, she was always in the hole. About $1,000 a month. Some of these people have kids. Most of them have no retirement, no savings. Most of them are in their 20s, 30s, 40s. Probably most of them are around in their 20s and 30s. But I really think that's just a demographic of the people watching. But there are some people that are on there that are older, too. And I mean, it's scary to think, because reading the article about people 65 and older, and then a lot of them, it seems like 70% of people don't even have over 40,000 that they're living off of a year, and 30,000 is like, you know, a scary number. 40,000 is kind of more doable. If you get some kind of senior living in a cheap area, you might be able to work things out, but you're going to be very limited on where you'd be able to live, and that's if you even have 30,000 coming in annually. If you have less than that, I don't even know how you could live on less than that. I really don't think 30,000 would be comfortable. Like, I know when you're older than 65, you do have some kind of something coming in. But, you know, you might have health issues going on. You might not really be able to work. So, you know, I mean, 65 isn't that old, but you're approaching, like, an older age where it's like, you kind of want something set up by 65. I would hope, you know, it's not too late at 65. It's not like you're like 90, but I mean, you know, because you could still technically work, but it's like, how long are you going to be working? You could maybe work till you're like 80 if you're in good health, good mental and physical health, emotional health. I guess another thing I wanted to mention about the Caleb Hammer videos. Okay, so in connection with the fast food, one thing I'm noticing is a lot of people, well, okay, let me not put it in that direction. I don't know if it's a directional thing, but another thing I'm noticing is a lot of people feel like they have, I don't know if they have fully diagnosed mental health issues, because some of them aren't really going to mental health providers. They haven't been formally diagnosed. And it's normal to get stressed about work, and especially if you have debt and finances, of course you're going to be stressed and have anxiety and have depression, and it creates the cycle. It creates a cycle of, I'm too tired, I'm too exhausted, therefore I'm going to go buy this fast food. And then I buy this fast food, and then, you know, it makes me feel crappy, and it makes my energy crappy, and my health gets worse, and then I'm gaining weight and feeling worse. And then, you know, you're not going to be super motivated to, like, get into another field or go learn and, like, train and, you know, get yourself out of the hole and, like, get extra work and work more. And some people do work more. They do Instacart on the side. They do other stuff. But then they're spending it all. You know, they don't bring food to work. They work and don't eat. And then they're so starved that they either stop at fast food or gas stations and get something convenient. And I'm not saying I've never done that, because when I was working full-time and living with people, you know, that combination was just like, yeah, I'm going to eat, like, takeout all the time. Like, I didn't eat it for breakfast, I don't think. I would usually be the only one up, so I could, like, boil eggs or, like, you know, get something for breakfast. Like, those, I would stop by 7-Eleven and get those pre-boiled eggs or, like, a perfect bar or some fruit or yogurt or, you know, those little, I think they're called mush. They're like little overnight oats and stuff like that, which you could easily make at your house. And my coworkers would tease me and say it looked like cat food. I don't have a cat, so I never really knew, but they would be like, huh, it looks like you're eating cat food. But I would eat those almost every day. And then, yeah, I would eat takeout for dinner. It would be fast food or, you know, like Thai food or Vietnamese food, or I don't know. I lived in an area with great food. Southern California has amazing food, so it's really hard not to eat it all the time. But, you know, I started following some people like Dave Ramsey, and, you know, the thing was more so the motivation. Like, I started listening to him more in 2020 because I was like, okay, I need to be productive if I'm not going to go out and party with friends. And I noticed I wasn't going out as much because I couldn't because of the Rona. And the other day I heard somebody call it the cough cough. That was pretty funny. But because of the Rona. So, you know, we couldn't really go out for quite a period of time. Like, it wasn't easy. Well, nobody knew, like, should we hang out at each other's houses, should we throw little parties, like, what can we do, what can't we do. So there, like, my social life went from going out like 3 times a week to like nowhere near that. Or when we did go out, it was like everyone bring your own, you know, wine or drink or whatever, and we just hang out at Balboa Park in our chairs and play card games and just listen to music and just chill in the park or go to the beach or whatever and just chill. All we could do is go outside and like sit around. So we did that for like almost like a year, it feels like. I don't know how long it was, but it was a while before we got back into the clubs and bars for less than like 2 hours at a time. And because it was like 2 hours with reservations only and sitting outside and all that kind of stuff, it was like you'd have to be on time. You couldn't really bar hop because people were so bad at scheduling that it was like you couldn't really get to 2 different places back to back. And even if you could, it's like you only have 2 hours. So how much can you really, like, if you're really enjoying your food or drink, you're not really going to be drinking that much. And there was not really an appeal to going to like a second place after you just speed drank for like 2 hours and then let's go to the other place for 2 hours. It's like, and it wasn't the same atmosphere that it used to be. So, you know, we didn't go out as much during that time. And so I started noticing, like, hey, I'm not going out 3 times a week anymore. I got a little more money than usual. And I was like, but what do I do with it? Because at that time, like, I was contributing to retirement, but just because it would automatically come out of my paychecks. And I would have my taxes, my retirement contributions, my, you know, healthcare benefits, like all that kind of stuff would just come out. So I didn't ever see that money. So I already wasn't making that much money, but I already knew that money wasn't going to be available. And I was living with people. So my rent was never over $800 a month, which is the cheapest I know of anybody in San Diego. I've never known anybody that paid less than $1,000. Even when they were sharing, maybe they did. But usually most of my friends paid way more than I did. So I was able to do more because I was able to not spend. But I was definitely, you know, getting to where I needed to get, you know, with things slowly. Cause I was like, if I'm going to be a little irresponsible on the spending, at least I'm going to, like, I was spending a lot, but at least I was contributing. And I did have debts, you know, cause I did start getting into debt. It was mostly payday loans, not credit cards. And so that was kind of my thing. I mean, I don't do that anymore, but like there was a time when I totally was doing it. And it was because I was going out all the time. But then when I stopped going out, like, I got my finances in order, like, a couple times. It took me, you know, a couple learning errors. But I was still always contributing to my retirement. You know, that never stopped. And so, you know, that wasn't really an issue for me. I mean, I was never really making a whole lot of money. And I stayed in the same job for, like, 7 years. I was making $18 an hour for 5 years, and then for about 2 years making about somewhere between 24 and 26 an hour. When I was making 26 an hour, I was working 32 hours a week. So it wasn't smooth, but I was learning on my own. I don't have parents that ever taught me about finances. All they ever told me was don't get involved with credit cards and payday loans. My mom always was like just using cash only, and she never really used cards. Like, she'd go to the bank and get the cash out, and so she knew how much she always had, and it was never an issue for her. And yeah, that's basically how we kind of did things, and it was never an issue. Like, you know, I saw my parents getting into debt a lot, and, you know, on occasion where my mom had to go back to work and stuff, instead of being a you know, homemaker and working at home, like, she would work outside of the house more. And, you know, I mean, I was so young, it's not like we were overspending as kids. Like, it was my parents that were overspending. So, and they're not that good with, well, one of them is not that good with money, and it's still the case. And so I kind of see their style, and I'm like, ooh, that's really scary. Because they're kind of in those categories that are like the bad news category. But at least they've got kids and a house that's worth quite a bit of money. So they've got a pretty nice asset, at least one, maybe more that I don't know about, but at least the one. If they sold the house, they'd be fine. You know, that would help a lot, if they needed to, but they're not like fully retired yet, so it's not really an issue so much so. I would say, yeah, that's mostly what I notice, is that people spend a lot on takeout and fast food and delivery food. The food is an issue. And then when they talk, I didn't get to talk about the mental health part too much, but when they, there's also that combination. Okay, I guess what I forgot to say with the mental health, I was trying to say that Dave Ramsey talks a lot about, you know, how finances are behavior and they're math. So those, the combination of those two things, he mentions a lot, it's math and it's finances, which is true. It's math and it's finances. I'm sorry, what did I say? Sorry, I said that wrong. Behavior, it's behavior and finances. Behavior and finances. It's not much more than that. I mean, yes, there's emotion that drives the behaviors. And so that's where the psychology part comes in. That's where the mental health comes in. If your mood can, doesn't always have to, but can, like, if you're not planning for it, your mood and how you feel can sway how you make decisions. The other day, for example, I was out doing deliveries. I brought food with me. You know, doing deliveries is, it's not the most complicated thing on earth, but doing deliveries, one thing that's hard about it is you're smelling delicious, like barbecue chicken wings and like Mexican food and Chinese food. And you're just like starving sometimes. And you're like, man, I wish I could just like open that bag right next to me and just like eat it, you know, and be like, whoops, sorry, I can't deliver. And then just like eat all the food, you know. Sometimes I feel like I wish I could just eat all this. I'm so hungry. So smelling the food doesn't even help, you know, because sometimes when you're not even hungry, you still want some. And so I've started bringing food with me. And it has to be something satisfying. So the other day we had this leftover spaghetti. It was just spaghetti, you know. I put some green beans in a Tupperware with spaghetti. It had like some ground turkey in it, some mushrooms, some chunks of onions, some chunks of tomatoes. And, you know, I heated it in the microwave and put it in my hot cold bag. And it was, you know, I brought a fork with me, some napkins, you know, because I didn't know how long I was going to stay out. This must have been Wednesday, I don't know. I didn't know how long I was going to stay out driving. But I was like, I don't want the excuse to be, I'm coming home because I'm hungry. Now, I started feeling a little, you know, hangry. You get that irritability. And I was like, I want to come home. I want to cook, you know, something that's in the house. But I was like, you know, my mom's always home and she's going to come in and start talking to me, and I'm going to start getting all like irritated and annoyed. Because when I'm kind of in that hangry mood, I don't want to talk to anybody. And she doesn't get that, and she doesn't care. She's going to keep on talking to me. So I was like, you know, I want to be pleasant and keep things nice. And I'm trying to, you know, keep things calm. Like, she doesn't argue. She's not an argumentative person. But it's like, I'm trying here. I'm trying to be, you know, in good spirits and be in good energy, you know, when it's within my power. Like, of course, I'm not always going to be in the best mood on the face of the planet. But it's like, if it's just a matter of, like, eating a Snickers or something, then, like, I can have control over that. So even though once I was on my way home, you know, I was in a plaza that had, like, all these food places that I could have just gone and bought some food, but I had the spaghetti with me, and it was still, you know, spaghetti. I don't know if you're like me. You can eat it kind of warmed, like slightly warmed. It doesn't have to be like hot for me. I kind of like it a little cold, kind of with like pizza too. I like it a little lukewarm sometimes. And so I knew I had the spaghetti with me. So before I even went home, even though I was like 10 minutes from my house, I was like, you know, I'll feel better when I get home and I won't be in a grumpy mood if I just eat this. So I pulled over, took like 10, 15 minutes to eat it, and then just put it, you know, in the stuff I was going to bring back into the house. By the time I got home, I felt fine and I wasn't all irritable and grumpy, and at least I wasn't like coming through the door with bad energy. And that's a simple thing, you know, it's like, okay, I planned for that. I planned because I was like, I know I'm going to, the problem is I like to drive lunch deliveries, and it's like, I eat lunch at lunchtime. And if I leave at 11, I'm not going to eat lunch at 10:30. That's weird. And then, you know, I'm not going to wait all the way till like 2 to eat lunch. So it's like, I'm starting to like have to bring the food with me. Otherwise, I'm going to be at risk of buying food. But that was a conscious choice. I had to make that decision to heat that up. I heated it up near breakfast and put it in that bag. So it was in there from like probably like 9 o'clock, 8:30 to like around 11 or so. So it was in there for a couple hours. But I was kind of like, I don't care anyways. It doesn't have to be hot. So something that doesn't have to be hot. If I had sandwich makings, I could have very easily made a delicious sandwich if I had something to put on it. I mean, now I do, but at the time when I was doing this, like, I hadn't yet purchased the groceries that I wanted. And so, yeah, I was like, you know, like, tomorrow I'm going to go out and do deliveries. I'm probably going to bring a chicken sandwich, you know. I have, you know, a roasted chicken from Sprouts. I'm probably going to put chicken, some Miracle Whip. I mean, it doesn't have to be the healthiest thing. It should be healthy, but chicken, Miracle Whip, some avocado, tomato, I might bring a salad. I have like this Asian dressing cabbage salad. I might bring some of that salad with me. I mean, that would be a perfect little lunch right there. It would keep probably pretty well. It would taste pretty good and delicious enough that I'd be wanting to eat that more than like spending the $10 to and the time in the drive-thru to spend like more time and then more money eating some food that I don't need, that's more calories and less healthy and costs more and eating into my profits. I'd be happy about that decision. I'd be happy about the decision to eat, you know, more, to eat just kind of what I have at home. And I could easily make that before I go. How long does it take to make a chicken sandwich and put some, you know, already made, you know, those salads that come in the bag? That just, it's like one of those Asian salads that comes in the bag. And I already put the dressing in it today because I was eating it today. So what I do, because I'm the only one eating it, I open the bag, I put the dressing in, I shake it up, and then I put the crouton things or whatever. This one had peanuts and like these little, I don't know what they are. You crush them up and just like put them in the salad. I just shake it up and keep it in the bag and then just fold over the bag and put it in the fridge. I'm like, I don't really care because it's going to take me 1 or 2 days to eat it. I'm the only one eating it, so I'll just take the salad with me and eat it in the car. And it'll be filling enough and relatively healthy enough, and I'm not going to need to do anything but just eat, and it's not a big deal, you know? It'll save me $10. I mean, the food's already paid for. That chicken alone was $9.99. I don't remember how much the bread was. I think it was like $4.99. You know, the avocados, I think they're about $1 or $2.99 each, depending on which ones I got. I think the tomatoes were like $1.50 a pound or something like that. And so, I mean, that's really not that much. I mean, for all those ingredients, I don't remember how much the salad is, but for all the ingredients, you know, you could easily spend that much at Chipotle on like one bowl, or Subway if you get like 2 sandwiches, you know. But yeah, like I spent under $20 on those ingredients. And so, and I can make how many chicken sandwiches, you know? It's like a whole loaf of bread. So, and a whole chicken. So, just the math alone on something that I'm like, this is good enough for me to eat, that it's something I actually like, that I would eat, that I would make, and I would actually want to eat that. And the grain is like a 22 grain bread. It's really delicious. I had it for the first time today. I think I've had it before, but I had it for as toast for breakfast, and I was like, man, that stuff was sweet. It was really good. I was like, man, like I wanted to eat more, actually. I'm trying to take it easy on the carbs. I'm not trying not to eat them. I'm just trying not to eat too much of them. I'm not very successful at that at the moment, but I'm definitely not buying a lot of food. And so when I do buy fast food and stuff, usually Thursdays I do. This Thursday I didn't. But usually Thursdays I get a I get In-N-Out. I get a drink and a cheeseburger. Sorry, I get a fries and a cheeseburger. That's under $7. It's six something. If I get a double-double with cheese and a fries, no drink, it's eight something. And so, and there's a burrito place near me that you can get 2 bean and cheese burritos for eight something, with house salsa and homemade chips. And the burritos are big enough that, you know, one burrito is a meal. And so I try to find places like that where it's like, it's cheaper than McDonald's and it's slightly healthier and you can get, it's filling and you can kind of get more out of it. You're like, yeah, In-N-Out, you're going to wait sometimes 15, 20 minutes. And yeah, you know, these other places, you know, have to call and then go pick it up. So if it's like a lunch break or something, that's not ideal. If I was at work coming from the office or something, like that wouldn't be ideal to go to In-N-Out and spend half your lunch sitting in line, or most of your lunch between the drive and then sitting in line. But the emotions behind things are really what get us, right? It's like, you know, if I'm grumpy and I have money, they can fix the problem. Why not fix it? But if it's an everyday problem or like a 3-4 times a week problem, like, you guys know, if you get a combo at McDonald's, it costs more than $10. I don't think there's any combo, like any of the regular number combos, unless there's some sale or something, but like everything's like $10 or more if you get the combo for the most part. There might be a couple exceptions. But unless you're getting like a la carte stuff, you're going to be paying like over $10 is that over, is that food worth over $10 to you? It's like 1,300 calories worth of crap that's going to satisfy you and make your, like, physically satisfy you and make you emotionally, temporarily satisfied, contribute to your obesity, contribute to clogged arteries, heart problems, just problems in general. It's not a good burger. We all know that McDonald's, you know, quality of the food is trash. You wouldn't feed that, you know, if your doctor's like, okay, like, you're gonna be here for a while, bring food, and you're trying to, like, impress your doctor, you wouldn't bring, like, a Big Mac combo to the doctor's office. You'd bring at least Subway or Chipotle or something a little more, seeming a little more healthy. So sometimes it's not even just thinking about the current situation. It's like, how is this going to affect your future? If you're eating like 13 calories, that's most, like, if you're trying to eat 1,500 or under 1,500 calories a day, that lunch or that dinner of McDonald's is your whole day's food calories almost. And then you still have to worry about, you know, how much did you eat for breakfast and what are you going to eat for dinner, you know? So what do you think about the emotion part? You know, do you struggle with that? Because that seems to be one of the deciding factors on why people spend so much on the food part, the delivery, ordering deliveries, all that kind of stuff. And a lot of it's not necessary. Most people can cook at home, you know, and they don't. So seeing that spending, you know, you gotta wonder what's going on, you know? The cars are another one. You know, I'm used to driving nothing but pieces of crap cars. Like I had a car when it was new. It was new back in 2002 when I got it. So I was young when I had a nice, fancy, brand new car. And I was, like, one of the only people I knew with, like, a nice, brand new car. And all my friends had crappy cars. And I wore my car down to the ground. And now I'm driving crappy cars while my friends are driving nice, new cars. And I'm like, I think I learned that, you know, keep your freaking crappy car, man. I mean, if you never upgrade, nobody cares, you know? Nobody cares. Half the time, I Uber when I'm meeting my friends anyways. Like, there are people I know that don't even really even know what my car looks like, you know? They never see me driving. So, you know. And I hardly was driving them. I was driving that little Eclipse. It wasn't really a big issue. So, because it's a teeny tiny car. I miss it, though. I like that car. I really liked it a lot. Part of me wishes I would have kept it, but it had to go. It was time. So, yeah. Another thing that people mentioned was, other emotional issues that aren't really being managed in general. And because they're having those emotional issues that aren't being managed, that also contributes to, you know, buying games and shopping on, you know, Amazon Prime and online shopping and all these subscriptions that cost extra money, you know. Like, he makes a point. Hulu doesn't have a lot of interesting stuff. Most of these apps don't have that much interesting stuff where you need, like, 5 movie apps. It's like, they all kind of suck. Like, one is fine, and just watch YouTube or whatever. Read books, you know, do something else. Listen to podcasts, you know. You know, listen to Joe Rogan. Go on Spotify. Listen to books on Audible. I mean, Audible costs money too, but, you know, you can, there's free stuff. Go to the library, you know. The library has Libby. It doesn't have every single thing, depending which library card you connect it to through your local libraries, but I think library cards are free. You could probably get a better library card, a better library connection, and have access to more books, you know. A lot of them are digital books, but they have some audiobooks on there too. It's not a lot of stuff, but it's free. But you do have to, like, check them out and then, like, return them, which is weird because they're online, but it's like, you know, people might be waiting for them still. I don't understand how that works, but, you know, I got a book that I need to see when it's due. Actually, it's probably coming due soon. I think it's due in, like, 3 days. But yeah, I mean, if you look at your own finances and you find that at the end of the month or at the end of, right before your next paycheck comes, if you don't have any money and none of that went to retirement or savings or anything, I mean, that's not a good sign, you know, it's not a good sign at all. It's just really not a good sign, you know. If you don't realize how your emotions affect your spending, that might not be a very good sign, you know, because you need to know those details. Like, I explained mine, like, just a simple thing that happened the other day. It was this week when that happened, and it was something that I knew that I was planning for. I wasn't planning, oh, I'm going to get grumpy, so let me eat before I go home. But I was planning that if I wanted to drive longer, and it was raining and stuff, and after I did another delivery, I was, like, too wiped out after that one because I went pretty far. So once I got back in my neighborhood, I was like, I'm not really up to it. But then I was also like, oh, I'm going to be grumpy if I go home right now. So I just ate the food I already had. And then when I got home, I didn't have to make lunch. I didn't have to do anything. And I didn't buy lunch out. I ate the lunch that I brought with me that I prepared while I was making my breakfast. And it was leftovers. It was already in the fridge. We make a lot of leftovers and we eat them a lot for meals. It saves you from making bad decisions. And it's usually good food. Like that spaghetti was pretty good. Like, I ate it quite a few times this week. You know, a few helpings of it. Like, it was good stuff. You know? It got me through some meals. I think I had, like, 3 meals, maybe 4 off of that spaghetti. Not this week. Well, maybe 3. 3 this week and maybe 1 last week. Or 2 this week and maybe 1 last week. I don't know. I think I ate it for lunch like twice this week. I don't mind eating the same stuff all the time either. So they have these little yellow pouches called Tasty Bites. They're really good too. They're relatively healthy, organic. It's like curries and rice and stuff. So like it's kind of not the easiest smelling thing to maybe have in your car if it smells very strongly, but they're easy meals to cook at home. I'm not trying to make fun of cultural foods. I love it. I'm just saying, like, if you're eating it at work or something, you got to be sensitive to other people. Some people don't like strongly smelling foods. But yeah, look where your spending's going. See if you're on track. A lot of people are on track, though. It seems like a lot are on track. But then there's a lot that are kind of in scary situations. And check out Caleb Hammer. I think his videos have a lot of value. You can just watch and see what people do and the trends that people have. and kind of compare, like, do I do that? Is there anything that I'm doing that's like that, that I could change? And you could kind of see, when you see someone else doing it, you're like, oh, why don't they just do this instead, you know? Like, it's easy to find a solution for someone else. So, alright guys, that's it about finances. Hopefully you enjoy this one.